Well, it's good to see each of you here today. I hope you're rejoicing in the Lord. Isn't it great to be in God's house? Beautiful day outside. I know the sun hasn't made its way out yet. That's Vallejo sends us always that marine layer up, and so we try to get rid of that. They come up here to get out of it, and so hopefully before they go back, we'll have that fixed, right? Simna and Leo and some of you, right? Oh, wow. Okay. It's best to not comment because it'll save yourself, you know, a little bit of embarrassment. But we're glad you're here. I hope you're rejoicing in the Lord today. Friday night, we had a graduation, and we wrapped up school. And tonight, we do want to recognize our graduates and of all schools. And tonight will be kind of a final farewell for them. Looking forward to that tonight. Hope you'll make sure and come back at 5 o'clock. There'll be a reception and all that. So, but I want to talk to you this morning. I want to preach to you this morning on a subject the Lord has really laid on my heart recently about God's highest priority. God's highest priority. If you are in business or if you read any leadership books or been to leadership webinars or seminars or any of those kind of things, you hear a lot of this buzzword priority. You hear a lot about it. You know, they talk about priority like, you know, it's something that, you know, it's magical. Like we're going to, you know, if we learn to prioritize things in our work, in our personal life. And so we hear a lot about that. If you're around churches, you'll hear the term priority. You hear about that and you'll kind of wonder, okay, what do we mean? What does it mean by a church that we have priority? And what is a priority? And how important is priority in our life? And so we hear a lot about that. That's very well known among many people. And here's the idea, is all of us have limited resources. We have limited time and we have limited energy. And the truth of the matter is, all of you have every one of these things in limitation. Nobody in here has unlimited time. Nobody has unlimited energy, and certainly nobody has unlimited resources. In other words, finances always play a part in what we have. You know, a lot of people like to live as if they have unlimited all of those things. They want to live that way. There's some people that never think about the fact that for them, time is limited. They live every day as if there's no tomorrow, or they spend today as if there is no tomorrow. And so when you think about it, this is very, very powerful. This is very, very important. So we talk about priorities. One of the things that I have found over the years is when life is over, priority is always mentioned at the funeral. Whether I'm doing one or whether I have been in attendance to one, one of the things I hear a lot of people talk about is that for them, family was first priority. Family first. I mean, at probably 98% of the people at their funeral, I hear that they will say family was most important to them. And so, you know, I got thinking about that, and I've thought about that over the years because I've done numerous funerals in the last, you know, year or so, and I hear that almost every time. I mean, there's probably not an exception. And I was thinking, you know, if family is such a high priority, why are our families such a mess in America? I mean, if that's really the case, why is everything such a mess? Obviously, it's not just priority, it's what we do with the priority that we have. You know, it's one thing to say that this is the most important thing. It's quite another thing for us to realize that you know, what we do with this, what we call priority, what we do with it is vitally important. Now, let me help you to understand. Obviously, my remote's not working, so I'm going to have to use my finger. Priority is what the most important in your heart. I mean, what is the most important thing? What is it that for you, you would say, this is really, really important to me. This is more important than other things in my life. So it might be, you know, for you that you would say, well, you know, for me, it is family. And I applaud that. And I think that's great. And I thank God for people who emphasize their family and make sure of that. But my question is, what is the highest? You know, you only have so much time, you have so much energy, and you only have so much resource. What is it for you that you would say, if you would, let's put it to you this way, you put the most weight on in your life? What is it that you would say is that single most important thing in your life? But then here's the next question. What is God? What is His highest priority? You ever thought about that? I think a lot of times we, you know, we hear a lot about, because the emphasis seems to be more on us and man and what we do, but very few of us realize, what is it about God? Where do we spend the most time and energy? And then where is it that God spends the most time and energy? What is His highest priority? Now, a lot of people, if you hear that question out front, you just say that, a lot of people start thinking of, well, here, these must be some things that is God's highest priority. Maybe His Word. How many agree with me that His Word is a very high priority? How many agree with that? Amen? Okay. So is that God's highest priority? You know, we read like in Psalm 138, verse 2, He says that He's made His Word, more important than his own name. I mean, is that His highest priority? Others have suggested, well, maybe it's not just His Word, but maybe we could say it could be His character or His attributes or maybe His happiness. Is that God's highest priority? Is that really what God would say, like for us, that would be number one, the most important thing to God? You know, then there are others who maybe live in this world who really don't care what God's priority is. You know, they don't even believe in God anyway, and they don't believe that God even cares, and they certainly don't. And so their idea is that there's no such thing as God, and I don't really care what God says and what God thinks. It doesn't really bother me what God's Word says. It's really sad to think how little man is and how big God is and how people think like that. But then, what's even sadder is how many Christians kind of fall into that trap too. You know, they get to the place where, for them, they don't really care what God thinks either. They don't consult God on any matters. They don't read the Bible as they should. They don't ask God what He thinks about this decision they're going to make or that decision they're going to make, and rarely do they ever attend church. In fact, and those who do, only a few of them actually serve in the church. And so really, for them, it's not a priority in their life because they don't put a lot of weight on it. But what about God? Really, what is it that God looks at? And since the emphasis should be on God, what would be the best option for us? And we're going to look at it in a moment what it is. What would be the best option for us? Well, I got thinking about that. I was praying about that this week and asking God to give me direction. And then I started thinking about this. Wouldn't it be really great if God's priority and my priority matched? And how many of you agree that would be really good? Don't you agree? And I thought, man, that'd be great. You know, I got to thinking about that. And then when I went and I began to pray about it on Friday and really dug more into the scriptures about this, I thought, man, that's all wrong too. That's all wrong. Because that's not really what God wants it to be. It's not that I match mine with God's. Here's what it is. I replace mine with God's highest priority. That I replace that. It's not that, you know, remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying before he went to the cross? Here's what he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And at that point, we recognized that it's not that I match my priority with God's or that I have to walk in concert with God's. is that for me, as a believer in Christ, I understand that God's priority should be my priority. That God's priority should be that which is most important for me. And so for me, I have to say, well, you know, hey, you know, I hear all this stuff about priorities and what I should do and what I shouldn't do. But what the best option for me is to make sure that God's priority is my priority. That it's, that's the most important. That His will has priority over my will. How are we doing today? So I think of a teenager. You ask a teenager, what is your priority? And many of them will say, well, my priority is certainly to graduate from high school. And I hope so. We certainly want to see them get done with high school. And then you were to ask them, okay, what beyond that? They might say, well, to find a job or a place where I'm supposed to go, or maybe it's a college, or then later a career, and all of those kind of things. And those are important priorities, and all of us agree with that, but what is God's priority for you? Then you would ask, you know, maybe a single adult, what is your priority? And they might say, well, I want to get into a good job, and I want to take care of my myself and get independent of my family and get out on my own, and that's really a high priority for me. And they might say something like, well, you know, I want to find that person who I want to spend the rest of my life with. That's a high priority. And none of us would say, hey, certainly that isn't important. We'd all say, absolutely, that's important. Young couples might say, our priority is about where we live and the car we drive and the kids we have and all of those things. And certainly they are important. That's priority. But that's not highest priority. That's not it. So what is it? I mean, if we're trying to say that at this point in our life, that all of these things are important, and no doubt about it, because remember, we have limited time. We have limited energy. We have limited resources. Then what is it that God says is our highest priority? And let me say it this way, His highest priority. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and I believe God has an answer for us. The book of Genesis, and we don't really know who, as far as the dating goes, who was right about dates. It's been suggested that it was written about 4004 B.C. The world could be maybe between 7 and 10,000 years old. And so if we use the dating of Usha dating, that dating goes back to 4004 B.C. when this book was penned. But we all understand that before the Word of God was penned, we do have to understand this, that before that, God was anyway. That, in other words, God, the Bible, you know, God didn't start in Genesis. God wrote it down for us in Genesis. Look at verse 26. As God's kind of outlining for us His plan and what He's doing, we've seen up to this point that God made the sun, the moon, the stars, nature, animals, all of those things. We get to verse 26 and notice what He says. And God said, let us make man in our image, our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, wait, we'll stop here. I'm going to throw this in. You can study this out later. I don't see where it says we're like animals. It says we're to be over animals. So I don't see us as a process of evolution. We're created beings according to what God says in His Word. Look at verse 27. So God created man in His image. He created him. Male and female created He them. Now guess who selected what sex you are? The Creator did, God. Nobody has a right to mess with God's creation. And it doesn't matter how popular it is. And by the way, you know what the problem with our churches are? We've capitulated to the world. I think it's time we stand up and call it what it is. This is the Bible. This is God's truth. We're going to preach it. Amen? Amen? Let's read on. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now let's stop here. Here's the point I want us to get. God created us and all of these things for one dominating, powerful priority for Him and you. That is that you have a dynamic, deep, intimate relationship with Him. That's your number one priority. More so than the car you drive. More so than the house you live in. More so than the person you marry. More so than the amount of money that you have. More so than the career you have. Your number one priority, Christian, your number one priority is your relationship with God Himself. Notice, we're created in God's image. We are, if you would, we are shaped and molded and made in His image. And the reason why is because God wants us to realize that the priority of God is that we have a relationship with Him. And I'm not talking about just the fact that there was a time in our life that one day we received Jesus Christ as Savior. I mean, this is an ongoing relationship with the God of heaven. That's priority. That's the highest priority. That's the reason God made you. He created you and me so we can have a deep and intimate relationship with Him. Now, He designed the universe. We read that all throughout Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. We know that. We understand that. That He designed that out of love. I mean, the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, all of those things. In fact, God said they're well-pleasing. That's what the word good means. They're appealing. They're proper. They're totally profitable. And we can use them. And we understand that. That's the way God made it. He designed the universe so we can all point to that close personal relationship we have with Him. Because that is the only way that we're going to have true joy in our life. You can have the best job, the best wife, the most beautiful house on the block. You can drive the nicest car and have the biggest bank account and still live miserable. Because life without God is miserable. You can't have a life worth living without Jesus Christ as the priority in your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, the world wants you to believe that you can, that you don't need God. As we have a secularized society, I mean, this society is becoming more and more secular. They care nothing about the God that you and I know and you and I serve and you and I read about in the Scriptures and you and I get to know. They care nothing about that. The only thing they care about is themselves and advancing themselves. And God says, that is not what my intention is, and that's not where joy is, and that's not where happiness is. Happiness is in your relationship with Him. And the truth of the matter is, I wonder why we've got this kind of this skewed mentality today. You know, that means that your beauty, your brains, your ability, your intelligence, your money, your attributes, your strengths, that will not define you as being successful. What defines you is your relationship with God. You may be excellent at what you do. You may be superior at what you do in your field of work. Or maybe in your brains, or maybe in something else. But as far as God is concerned, you're a failure if you do not have a vibrant, strong, thriving relationship with Him. That's what God says. This is what really brings for you and I our worth, our value, our fulfillment, our joy, our contentment. That's what it brings you. And here's some considerations here that if you're created, you're created for intimacy with God, and this is how we are able to become closer to God, is through prayer, study of God's word, and praise to God. That we praise God. You know, if you've thought about, I guess God got left off there, sorry about that. But you know, you give praise to God. I mean, isn't it true that when we come to church, we ought to give praise to God? You know, we come here not to give praise to a man or to a denomination or to some, you know, some idea, philosophy. We give praise to God. That's what we're here for. We're to give Him the glory. We're to give Him the praise. We're to give Him the honor. It's Him. This is His house. It's what this is all about. And if we're created for that purpose, where did we miss it along the way? Where have we decided that we're more important than God is? You say, I don't think I am. Well, how do you manage what you call your priority? And if you have anything ahead of God in your priority, anything ahead of God, then you've missed this priority. This is your highest. This is the greatest. This is irreplaceable. This cannot be taken away. And if it is, we are not replacing God's priority for ours. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a world out here that will steal that away from you. They want it. They want to destroy you. Sometimes it could be something as simple as a thing or a person or an event or a recreation or anything that would take away from you. And it's a strange thing. You can see the process work in people's life. You can watch it. And it breaks my heart as a pastor. People growing, learning, and all of a sudden, boom, they go get a boat and you don't see them. By the way, I like a boat. My dad's got two of them. I grew up on boats. I can drive a boat. I can launch a boat. I can park a boat. I can do all that. I grew up doing it. It's second nature to me. But I won't have a boat because I know what the potential, what it could do to me. Now, am I against boats? Absolutely not. My dad said he's going to probably give me one of those one day. I don't know what I'll do with it, but he can give it to me. But here's my point. My point of the matter is, if anything that comes in my life replaces God's highest priority, it will destroy me. And by the way, it will destroy you too. That's what God says. And God wants us to understand that He's created us for this purpose and for this reason, and that's what I'm here for. You know, someone said to me one time, I don't even know why I'm doing here. What am I supposed to be doing while I'm here? And all I can say is we're here because God brought us here for this purpose. This is what brings true fulfillment and significance in our life as we surrender completely our heart to Jesus Christ. But it's only through communion and fellowship can we really grow. And it's only through that can we begin to affect a world around us for eternal sake. In other words, someone said, but man, I want my so-and-so to be saved. I want this person to get saved. I want this person's life changed. I want to see that. The only way that can happen is as we get closer to God and our lives reflect the God that you and I serve. Now, there's a key to this. I don't want you to miss the key. Here's the key. It's desire. That's the key. The reason why God's not the highest priority in many people's lives is because they don't desire that. The reason why many Christians today do not really have that as their highest priority is because that's not their desire. Somewhere along the way, the devil gets our desire. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. He did in the Garden of Eden. And if he did that to Adam and Eve, certainly he can do that to us. He steals away your desire. He steals away that. And God's telling us that the key is the desire. If we want the highest priority in our life, you know what that means? It doesn't mean that I have to come in every week and preach on you ought to have a relationship with God. You ought to, and I do. I regularly do that. But really, to be honest with you, that ought to be something that's from the heart. You know, we like to live the Christian life from the outside in. And God says, no, the Christian life is lived from the inside out. That somehow I have to grab a hold of the fact that this is important, because my desire is this year is I really want to get closer to God than I ever have been. Now here, let me ask you a question. According to this verse, is it possible to get close to God? Hello? Is it possible to get close to God, folks? James says it like this: draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. You know what that means? The ball's in your court, if you would. You're the server. You're the one that initiates the game. You're the one that starts it to happen. It is not God, it's you. And the closer you want to get to God, the closer God will get to you. And the further you want God from you, the further he will be as long as you choose that. It has to do with desire. Do I desire to be close to God? Now, is that my highest priority? Is that number one? Because if that is, and that's God's highest priority for me, then that means for me, it's not an issue for me to get up and read my Bible every day. It's not an issue for me to pray every day. It's not an issue for me to come to church when the church doors are open. That's not an issue. It's not an issue for me that I want to give God praise and I want to honor God with my life. It's not an issue because that's my desire. But if my desire is to kind of like have one foot in the world and one foot with God, then we're going to be all messed up. And God says that truly his number one priority, his highest priority for you and for me is this right here. I mean, if there's a way, and I don't know how to do this, I should have had Jimmy do this for me. Take that verse and just have it flashing all the time in front of me. Because it's the idea of drawing near to God. Getting closer to God. And nearness is likeness. And I want to get so close to God that God is so working in my life because that's what I'm created for. That's what God's priority is. You see, it is a priority of the heart. It is God's priority, and he wants it in my heart. He wants it in your heart, and he wants it in your life, just like he wants it in mine. Now, how do we get draw near to God? What does that mean? Well, what's that look like? Let me talk to you about that. Ways to draw near. Number one, I ask God to search my heart. I want God to search my heart. Like this morning, for example, I got up this morning, and I said, "Dear God, search my heart. What is it in my heart that is wrong?" You know, you realize your heart can deceive you? You realize it's deceitful. It can deceive me. Jeremiah 17, 9 says this: "The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I would like to think that I know my heart, but I'm not sure that I do. But I ask God to search my heart. Psalmist says this in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts to see and see if there's be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the life, in the way everlasting." In other words, what God is saying is that God wants us to ask God to search our hearts. It's okay, because the truth of the matter is, God knows what's in our heart anyway. So if I'm going to draw near to God, that means I got to search my heart. Number two, there's another thing. Confess and forsake sin. This is the hardest, because the truth of the matter is, We struggle with this issue. I don't know why, but we do. Proverbs says it like this. I don't like this verse. I've read it so many times. I've memorized it. I put it on things, and I struggle with it still. Here's what it says. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. I mean, it's one thing to confess, it's another thing to forsake it. You know, we have this sin we struggle with, you know, whatever it is, and we're just struggling with this sin. You can put in whatever yours is, because every one of us have something we battle with all the time, whether it's unforgiveness or whether it's lust or whether it's anger or whether it's, you know, something else altogether different, maybe envy or strife, you know what I call strife, whatever it is, we struggle with it. And when we do, here's what God says. The answer is not just to confess it, but to forsake it as well. How am I doing? You guys with me? Because it's tough to forsake it. You know, because here's what we like to do. We like to run to 1 John 1:9. Says, well, God says if we ask forgiveness, he'll forgive us of all our sins. Yes, but we presume on God's goodness when we do that. That's presumptuous sinning. That is just saying, well, I'll just go ahead and sin, but I just know God will take care of it. But God says, no, the way you get close to me is that you forsake it. You forsake it. Whatever it is, we just forsake it. And God says that his highest priority is this, and that's why he records this in Scripture. And by the way, this is echoed throughout all the Bible. I'm just calling out a few verses because I think it's very clear what God is saying to us. But then there's a third way that I can draw close to God, and that is that I grow in understanding Bible truth. That I understand more about God, that I let God work in my heart and my life as I'm hearing his truth, as I'm hearing the Word of God. That the Word of God becomes such a part of me. I'm letting it permeate my mind and my heart. Paul talks about as being engrafted Word of God. That the Word of God becomes so inside of me. And I'm asking God to teach me the truth. But then there's a fourth. That is to engage yourself at Calvary Baptist Church. Get engaged. Get engaged. I like what Hebrews says. He says it like this. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That means that for us, that we said, you know, I want to help others in my church. And by helping others, we're helping each other in our church to get closer to God. You know, that's part of what it is. That's what a ministry is, helping one another. You know, if you're looking for a perfect church, this is not one. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, I'm not one. If you're looking for a perfect pastor's wife, she's not one. I mean, we're imperfect people here. We're normal people. And so sometimes we have our bad days and our bad weeks. And sometimes we have good weeks and we're all excited. Sometimes we are. But we all need to encourage one another in our walk with the Lord. Amen and amen. That's what the ministry is about. That's why we sing the songs. That's why we hear preaching. That's why we pray for each other. That's why we share burdens with one another. That's what the ministry is about. That's why we give back in our community. That's why we have growth groups and why we do other things. Why we have connection classes. All of that is about us being a part of helping one another. And by us helping others, we're helping ourselves too. We're engaged. This draws us together. Because here's something I learned. I learned more about living the Christian life from you than I do what I read in the Bible. Because here's what I find. When I read the Apostle Paul and I read about his life, I kind of look at it and say, like, man, that's pretty tough. I don't think I can live like that. You know, you stone me, I'm probably going to pick up rocks and throw them back at you. I'm not really wanting to get in a shipwreck. I'm not too excited about that. after this train crash, I've decided I'm not getting on trains either. But you get my point. But when I live around people like you, and we're normal people, we struggle with normal struggles, and we're sharing one another, that's how we grow. These are ways to get draw closer to God. That's God's highest priority. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt that God's highest priority is your relationship with Him. No doubt. And He loves you. And He wants that close relationship with you. But here's my question today. Is His priority your priority? Is that yours? And if it is, it will probably be reflected in what weight you put on that priority in your life. It will be reflected. You may have come here today and have no relationship with God at all. Maybe you never realized these things. You never realized that God was that big of a God, that God wanted you, and yes, He does. He did so much that He wanted you. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins and mine. He did so much for you that He sent you to some place where if it's here in church, to hear about how much God loves you, that He's willing to die for you, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day. That's how much God loves you and wants a relationship with you. But then Christian, perhaps you're Christian today, and maybe you'd have to be honest and say, well, you know, the truth of the matter is my relationship with God is shallow. Kind of weak right now. It's not my highest priority. Somehow or another, somewhere that priority got sabotaged from the time that I became a believer to where I am today. Maybe it was something that came along in your life. Maybe a trial, maybe a difficulty, maybe a struggle. Maybe it was something as simple as a hobby. And there's nothing wrong with hobbies, and there's nothing wrong with any of these things as long as they're put in the right place in our life. We've allowed something to take that. Today, I want to challenge you, Christian, to decide you want to have that deep, intimate relationship with Him. I'm asking you, will you make God's highest priority become your highest priority? Will that be your choice today? Will that be what you would say, you know, Pastor, if that's what God says, that's what I want. Because I know that I can't be fulfilled any other way. How important it is, this deep relationship with Him. Boy, when we have that, man, it's satisfying. I mean, the whole world can just, maybe things can fall apart and things can get worse. But at least one thing, we have a relationship with the God of heaven who controls all these things. 1 Peter says it like this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past ye were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God says, this is it. Number one, above everything else, and all those other priorities are important, I'll take care of those. Focus on this. May God help us to have God's priority our priority.